Imagine seeing a massive wall of money, like tens of millions of dollars, just sitting right in front of you, promising this guaranteed concrete safety net for your trade.
Right, like a sure thing.
Yeah, exactly. You build your entire day trading strategy around that wall holding. You step out onto that net, you commit your capital, and then in a fraction of a millisecond, you just watch the entire structure vanish into thin air.
And you just fall straight through.
You fall straight through, and the market takes your stop loss with it. It's
Right.
brutal. So today we are tearing apart a stack of practitioner notes, footprint trading manuals, and research to settle this massive ongoing debate on proprietary trading floors.
Oh, the classic divide.
Yeah, on one side of the room, you have the order flow purists, the guys who trade strictly off volumetric footprint charts. And on the other side, you've got the guys who swear entirely by order book heat maps.
And you know, the funny thing is, both camps are looking at the exact same market. We're talking typically the NQ or ES, the NASDAQ, and S&P 500 futures, but they're speaking entirely different languages. The heat map trader is looking at potential futures. They're analyzing where the liquidity is currently resting. Whereas the footprint trader is looking at history. They're analyzing the actual volume that has already transacted at the bid and the ask. And I mean, relying on just one is a severe disadvantage.
It's essentially like driving a high-performance car with a massive critical blind spot. I mean, if you only use the heat map, you see where the road is supposed to go, but you have no idea who is actually driving on it
Right.
or how fast they're moving.
Right. You see the map, but not the traffic.
Exactly. But if you only use the footprint, you see all the traffic around you, but you are completely blind to the brick wall sitting 100 yards ahead on the highway.
Well said. The true trading edge in these futures markets, it really lies in the synergy of both tools. To get a high fidelity, complete view of the market auction, you must combine intent with action.
Intent and action.
Yeah. The heat map shows you the intent of the market participants, and the footprint shows you the executed action. Because honestly, trading blind with only one of those feeds exposes you to very specific, really fatal flaws.
So let's focus on that heat map first. When you pull it up, you're looking at a visual representation of the limit order book. It is showing you passive limit orders.
Right, the intent.
The intent, exactly. The tool answers a specific question. Where do the large players supposedly want to trade, and what obstacles are they setting up? You look at it and you see these bright, solid bands of color at certain price levels.
Yeah, representing massive limit orders just waiting in the queue.
Right.
Those bright bands represent resting liquidity.
Right.
So, if you are looking at the ES and you see a bright red band at the 5100 level, that tells you there is a significant concentration of limit sell orders resting right there.
The assumption being that this level will act as resistance, right?
Exactly. Because any buyer coming up to that price will have to physically chew through all those resting sell orders before the price can even tick to 5101.
But wait, hold on. If I see a bright red wall of limit orders just sitting there, offering a massive supply of contracts, why wouldn't I just short a few ticks in front of it? Or, if it's a buy wall, why not just buy right in front of it? Isn't that basically free money if the institutional size is backing it up?
Well, that assumes the institutional size actually intends to execute. And this is the danger of spoofing, which is the fatal flaw of trading strictly off a heat map.
Ah, spoofing.
Yeah. Limit orders are passive. They do not execute until a market order crosses the spread and hits them. Because they are passive, they can be canceled at any time. I mean, in a fraction of a millisecond.
So they're not locked in.
Not at all. Spoofing algorithms exploit this mechanic entirely.
So they flash massive liquidity at a certain level
Yeah.
just to manipulate the price toward it or, away from it. And then they pull that liquidity, the price actually touches that level.
Nevinder Singh Sarraw, the trader associated with the 2010 flash crash, he used this exact mechanic. He would run algorithms that placed massive sell orders on the ES just 3 or 4 ticks above the current best ask.
Just sitting right above the market.
Right. And these orders were so large, they created a huge visual imbalance on the order book. So other algorithmic traders and obviously human participants would see this massive supply, this heavy intent to sell, and they would back away.
They get scared.
Yeah, they'd pull their own buy orders because they didn't want to get run over.
So they see the red wall on the heat map and assume the market is going to drop, so they start aggressively selling themselves to get ahead of the move.
Exactly. And the moment the real price started dropping due to that induced panic, Sarraw's algorithm would cancel the massive limit sell orders before they ever got filled.
Wow. So he never even intended to trade those contracts.
Never. He was just showing a fake wall to corral the price into his actual, much smaller limit orders that were resting lower in the book.
That's incredible.
So if you are trading purely off a heat map, you are constantly at risk of leaning on a wall that is designed to disappear.
You buy right in front of the wall gets pulled, and the price falls right through the floor. Okay, so that covers the danger of trading intent without verifying action. Now let's talk about the footprint chart.
Right, the footprint.
The footprint shows executed market orders.
Yeah.
This is the action. It tells you exactly what is happening in the market right now, down to the millisecond, and who is actually being aggressive. It shows you the physical volume that has transacted.
Yeah, you are basically looking inside the actual candlestick. Instead of just seeing a traditional green or red bar, the footprint breaks down every single price level within that bar.
Right.
It shows you exactly how many contracts were bought at the ask and how many were sold at the bid. You are tracking the aggressive market orders that are taking liquidity from those passive limit orders.
But I mean, trading the footprint in isolation is just as dangerous as trading the heat map alone.
Oh, absolutely.
You might be watching the footprint, and you see this beautiful, aggressive momentum. Heavy market buying is printing. The numbers are flashing. The delta is heavily positive. So you buy into that heavy momentum.
Completely unaware that a massive, unspoofed institutional block is resting on the order book just three ticks above you.
Yes, you have no idea it's there.
And the moment price hits that invisible block, your momentum dies instantly. The market reverses hard. You are blind to the limit barriers lying ahead of the price.
The footprint basically told you the engine was running hot and the car was accelerating, but it didn't tell you the road was about to end.
That's exactly it. The synergy of these two tools provides confluence. You are no longer guessing if a limit wall on the heat map is real or just a spoof.
Right.
And you are no longer guessing if the momentum on the footprint is going to sustain itself. You are actively verifying the intent shown on the order book with the action of the executed order flow. You basically wait for the exact moment where the aggressive market participants collide with the passive limit orders.
That collision is where we find the core setup that perfectly utilizes this confluence. We're talking about absorption at a limit wall.
Yes.
And this setup requires retraining your eyes a bit, right? To watch two distinct data feeds simultaneously and waiting for them to tell a unified story.
It does. It takes practice.
If you're listening to this and thinking, well, this sounds like trying to read the matrix in real time, you aren't entirely wrong. It requires focus. But we can break this setup down logically.
Let's do it.
Step one is locating the wall. You are scanning the heat map, looking for a thick, stable limit wall. Let's say we are looking for a long setup on the ES, so we want massive buy limits at a key support level, maybe right around the value area low, the VAL.
Right. The visual cue on the heat map is your first filter. The wall must be a bright, solid color, which indicates heavy size relative to the rest of the book. But more importantly, as the price approaches this level, that color must remain stable.
It can't flicker.
Exactly. The limit orders must stay in the cue. If you see the color starting to dim or the band thinning out as price drops toward it, that is the first warning sign of a spoof. The liquidity is being pulled.
A true absorption setup requires a stable, unwavering wall. Okay, so we have our stable, bright wall. Price is declining toward these buy limits. Now we shift our focus to the footprint.
Right. Step two, the aggressive attack.
As price drops into that wall, we want to see aggressive sellers hitting the bids. We're looking for a sharp, sudden spike in negative delta, meaning there are significantly more aggressive sellers crossing the spread than aggressive buyers.
And you will also look for diagonal selling imbalances on the footprint.
Can you explain that, the diagonal part?
Sure. The matching engine operates diagonally. It compares the volume traded at the bid at one price level to the volume traded at the price level above it. When the sellers are overwhelmingly aggressive, you will see stacked diagonal imbalances printing red all the way down the candle.
It looks like total capitulation.
Yeah, just visually heavy selling.
It's less like hitting a brick wall and more like punching into deep mud. I mean, the aggressive sellers are throwing massive punches, huge market sell orders, but the mud just eats the kinetic energy.
I love that analogy.
Right. The price doesn't bounce immediately, it just gets stuck. The entire setup revolves around watching that kinetic energy dissipate.
Because the moment of impact, when those aggressive market orders hit the stable limit wall, that is the climax of the trade. And to truly measure who is winning that battle in the mud, we have to look at the cumulative volume delta, or CVD.
Wait, if both sides are just slamming into each other at this wall, how do we actually measure who is winning in real time? Is CVD the metric that tracks the overall aggressive pressure?
Yes. CVD tracks the cumulative difference between aggressive buyers and aggressive sellers over the course of the session, or even just the swing. In this specific absorption setup, as the price is slamming into our heat map wall, the CVD line will be sloping heavily downward.
Because aggressive market sell orders are just flooding the matching engine.
Exactly. The data clearly shows sellers are in control of the aggressive flow.
But here's the divergence. Despite this massive, measurable wave of aggressive selling pulling the CVD down, the price completely halts directly at the heat map wall. It refuses to tick even one level lower.
It's frozen.
The sellers are throwing everything they have. The CVD is tanking, but the price is frozen.
Because the passive buyer, the limit wall, is absorbing every single aggressive market sell order. Every time a seller hits the market, the passive limit order fills it without letting the price drop.
The limit order queue is just so thick that the aggressive seller simply cannot exhaust the supply of passive buy contracts.
Right. The sellers are expending all their capital, but they aren't gaining a single tick of ground.
And we see the visual evidence of this absorption right on the footprint candle. The candle will eventually close, often leaving a green body, but it will have a very long wick or tail at the bottom extreme.
That long wick at the bottom extreme is the literal fingerprint of absorption. If you look inside that wick on the footprint, you will see massive volume clustered at those bottom prices. Heavy trading took place, but the price could not sustain those lower levels and was rejected upward.
Because to exit a short position, you're mechanically forced to execute a market buy order.
Yes, exactly.
Think about the psychology and the actual physics of the trapped trader forming that long tail. A retail or momentum trader sees the price dropping rapidly. They see the red candles. They don't have a heat map. So they are completely blind to the 2,000 lot institutional buy wall they're about to run headfirst into.
They're just looking at price action.
Right. So they hit the sell button at the absolute lowest tick, aggressively crossing the spread, expecting a breakdown.
And the moment their sell order hits the exchange, it is matched against the passive limit buy order in the wall. The price stalls. The aggressive seller is filled at the absolute bottom.
The worst possible place.
The absolute bottom. Then, as the last of the selling pressure exhausts itself against the wall, the price ticks up by one level, then two.
Instantly offside. Hundreds of short sellers who slammed the bid at the bottom of that wick are now trapped in a losing position. As the price ticks higher against them, their pain threshold is breached.
Yep.
When their stop losses are triggered or when they manually panic and close their positions, they must buy to cover.
And their forced covering creates an artificial tsunami of market buy orders. They are aggressively taking liquidity from the ask side just to get out of their bad trades. This short covering cascade is what actually drives the sharp reversal away from the wall.
Wow.
The trap sellers provide the exact liquidity needed for the institutional buyers to mark the price higher.
Their panic is literally the rocket fuel that shoots the price up. It's an incredibly brutal mechanism, but understanding it gives you absolute clarity on why the market turns where it does.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it. So true. Now that the trap is set, the absorption is confirmed in the wick, and the CVD divergence is clear, how exactly do we execute this trade? Because recognizing the trap and actually managing the risk of entry are two very different disciplines.
Execution requires waiting for confirmation. You never buy blindly just because the price reaches the wall. The entry trigger occurs when the delta on the footprint physically flips back to positive.
Okay, so you don't front run the absorption.
Never. You want to see the negative delta of the downward thrust dry up and the current candle's delta shift positive. That indicates that aggressive buyers have finally stepped back in to take control, confirming the rejection of the support level.
The massive structural advantage of this specific setup is the stop loss placement. Because we can visually verify the limit wall on the heat map and we have confirmed on the footprint that it's actively absorbing selling pressure, we have a concrete technical barrier to lean on.
You place your stop loss tightly behind that limit wall, usually just 1 to 2 ticks below the resting liquidity.
Is that tight? Yeah. If that wall is backed by genuine institutional size and it just absorb hundreds of contracts without breaking, the price should not trade through it. That limit wall serves as a literal protective shield for your stop loss order.
Which provides an incredibly asymmetric risk to reward ratio. You are risking 1 or 2 ticks behind a confirmed tested institutional barrier for a potential move that could run for several points as the short covering cascade plays out.
Exactly. For profit targets, you look to the order book for the next logical obstacle. You target the nearest opposing limit wall on the heat map, the bright band above you where the passive sellers are waiting to defend their own levels.
Right.
Alternatively, you look for liquidity voids left behind during the initial drop.
Let's define those liquidity voids.
Yeah.
On the footprint, these show up as zero prints, right?
Yes, zero prints. When the market drops violently into that initial buy wall, it often moves so fast that the matching engines simply skip certain price levels.
Just glides right over them.
Yeah, no volume transacts at those specific ticks. This leaves a zero print on the footprint chart, a literal gap in the volume profile. The market auction naturally seeks efficiency, so it frequently retraces to fill those zero print voids once the downward momentum is absorbed and flips higher.
But, you know, the market is dynamic.
Right.
Especially something like the NQ, which can just rip your face off. What if the mud doesn't hold? What if this isn't a reversal trap, but a genuine intraday breakout scenario where the support level is going to shatter?
Well, integrating both tools protects you from that exact scenario. If it is a true breakdown, you will see the mechanics fail in real time.
How so?
First, the heat map. The massive buy wall that you thought was support will either be pulled, this boosting tactic we discussed earlier, or the limit orders will actually get filled rapidly without the price stalling.
So the bright color on the heat map just dissolves.
Exactly. The barrier is removed. Simultaneously, you look at the footprint. Instead of seeing absorption and a long wick, you will see stacked selling imbalances printing heavily in the direction of the breakout.
They just blast through.
Right. The footprint will show aggressive sellers chewing straight through the bids without any delta divergence. The CVD will be sloping down, the price will be ticking down in tandem, and the footprint will be solid red.
Which confirms a clear path and aggressive institutional participation to the downside.
Exactly. You simply do not take the long setup.
You just stay out of the way. True tape reading is never about staring at a matrix of numbers flashing green and red and hoping for a pattern. It is about tracking the constant high-speed battle between passive liquidity resting in the queue and aggressive market orders crossing the spread to take it.
It's a war.
It is. And your true edge comes from sitting on your hands and only stepping into the market when the footprint proves that the heat map is real.
You wait for the collision. You demand that intent is validated by action. When you see aggressive sellers exhausting themselves against a stable limit wall, creating that clear divergence in the CVD and leaving trapped traders in the wick of a footprint candle, you have identified one of the highest probability structural setups in the futures market.
For practitioners looking to apply this confluence in live markets, you can actually run the motive wave volume imprint and liquidity heat map studies along with the CVD indicator within a single workspace to share the underlying depth data seamlessly. And, you know, you can find further research on these exact mechanics at wickflow.com.
It does require screen time to read both feeds simultaneously, but man, the clarity it provides is just unparalleled.
It really leaves you with a profound mechanical reality to mull over before your next trading session. If the most explosive, violent market moves are genuinely fueled by the panic of trapped traders being forced to cover offside positions, how much of a trader's daily edge comes down to simply waiting to see who blinks first at a limit wall? Are you the blind momentum swinging wildly into the dark, or are you patiently waiting behind the wall to capitalize on the trap?